Well, I want to continue this discussion of Noach, which we have every year, but maybe with a new point of view. So, in the parasha Bereshit, at the end of Bereshit, where Noach is born, right? You know, he's in the list of the 10 generations from Noach to Abraham, and he's born. So the pasuk says, "Vayichi lemech." This is formulaic, right? Live a certain amount of time, you have a child. Well, here there's an interesting thing that the Torah tells us, sort of the etymology. I mean, the word etymology is, I'm misusing it, but you get the idea. It sort of gives us a hint and why this name was chosen. After all the names in the Torah, practically all the names in the Torah are originals. Everybody who has a name is the first one to have that name. Not named after somebody, but he could be named after an idea, like a short form of a longer... So what was the longer statement that created the name Noach? The longer statement was Ze Yinachabenu Maseinu Mitzvon Yadenu Min Hadamasher Eira Hashem. And that's pretty complicated. I mean, just reading those words is a little complicated. Let's try to figure out what they mean. Ze. Now you see, there's an anomaly here. If you look, those of you who are into, if you're into real detail, you see that the word Zeh, which is a very little word, right, has one syllable, has two te'amim on it, which is something very rare, as any Baal Korei can tell you. Why it has two te'amim, I don't know, but what it does, what happens as a result, is that the word Zeh is sort of like stands alone. It's not like most Zeh, which is a particle of pointing. This is, right? It's some kind of extra emphasis on the whatever follows. But when it has two ta'amim on it, this is the only time, I think, that it has two ta'amim. When it has two ta'amim, it means that this is something very important that is coming up. Or it might be something very important. Nechameinu, right? Nechameinu means nechama. Nechama is, what's nechama? An English word, what?
Comfort.
Which?
Comfort.
Yeah, okay. Ze yinachameinu. Ze meaning Noach. He is going to console us. What he's going to console us from? I mean, what do we need consolation from? Ma'aseinu, what we do, well, the work, the labor that we engage in. Mi'itzavon yadenu, the sadness of our hands. Now you know that the word itzavon is the word that's used to describe the punishment to Chava, right? That she has itzavon when in childbirth. So itzavon yadenu is the travail of our hands. Now, what travail in our hands is there? Well, there are two steps. When Adam got kicked out of Adam and Chava, when they were kicked out of Gan Eden, they firstly didn't have anything to eat that was readily available, as it was in Gan Eden. Gan Eden just walked around and picked the fruit off the tree. But you didn't have to produce the tree. Except, of course, we talked about rain. Right? That you had to pray for, Adam was expected to pray for rain, and the rain would then make things grow. But once, you didn't have to work to make them grow. They grew by themselves. So in the punishment to Adam and Chava was, first they had to work. But secondly, kotz v'dardar tatzmiach, which means that the work would not always produce what you wanted to produce. like the you could plant, but the result of the planting might not be what you want. It might not be positive. It might not be edible. So that when the pasuk says Zeilachameinu mima'aseinu is what Adam and Chava did, mitzavon yadeinu, that even if we work, we still don't always produce anything worthwhile, but we often produce itzavon min ha'adama, from the earth, asher era Hashem, which God has cursed. In other words, Noach somehow is going to contravene something that sounds odd to us, perhaps, is going to overcome the curse that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed upon mankind in relationship to the Adama. So, it's quite a prophecy. Quite a prophecy on the part of Lemech, who called his son by that name. Okay, I'm not sure that all the names that were given to all the children were given at birth. Maybe they got their names later on, like as a result of their achievement. Maybe. Well, I mean, but that's certainly a way, you know, people call each other a name that they invented when they met the person, but it may not be the given name that the person has. That's certainly possible. Okay, Rashi, he doesn't kid around. Rashi says, Vayolid ben, shemimenu nivneha olam, a son upon whose back the entire world is going to be built or rebuilt. In other words, Rashi just telling you that Noach, the Noach of Lemech, is Noach. There's no other Noach. He's the one. And then he goes on and says, Zeyinachameinu, Yinach mimenu et itzavon yadeinu. He will somehow free us from the sadness in our hands. Ad shelo ba Noach lo ayalem klei machresha v'hu heichin lahem. Until Noach came, they didn't have a plow. And he made the plow. Vaita aretz motzia kotzim v'dardarim kishezorim chitim. And so when they planted wheat, they got brambles. They got something that they didn't want. Mikilelato shel Adam harishon. And this was the result of the klala, of the curse that God cursed Adam HaRishon with. Uvimei Noach nachan. And in the time of Noach, there was a resting or relaxation. Vizehu yinachameinu, yinach mimenu. Right? Rest from us, or leave us be. Leave us be. So Rashi is telling us something for which there doesn't seem to be any reference in the pasuk. Like you can't, he doesn't hang it on that. He doesn't hang it on a gematria. He doesn't hang it on a connection to a pasuk in Iyov. He doesn't get anything. Right? And so maybe what Rashi means is, since whatever Noach did, right, Nachamenu mima'aseinu min ha'adama asher erara Hashem. That's the important theological position that Rashi is explaining. The important position is that even though God cursed the earth, and that's something that mankind went around with, in spite of that fact, the curse was not permanent. It meant you are cursed, but you can do something about it. You are cursed, but you could change it somehow. So who was the one who came along to change it? Noah. How did he change it? It doesn't matter. You could say that Noah brought a caterpillar tractor into the world. I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's just that in agriculture, which was the problem, Noah created an easement. Right? That's what we say. What was it? Okay, Rashi, it's a machresha. How do you know it was a machresha? So Rashi can say, maybe it wasn't a machresha. Maybe it was a plow. Maybe it was a something else. Right? You know, he doesn't. What he's focused on are these last words in the pasuk min hadama asher eira Hashem, and therefore Rashi continues and says, im lo tefasheu kach. If you don't explain it that way, then we still don't understand the name Noach. Right? That if the word is based on nechama, then you would call him Menachem. You wouldn't call him Noach. So you see that we don't know why this is true. Don't know if Noach was, at the time that he created this machresha, whether he was a spiritual person, close to God kind of person. Rashi doesn't say that at all. He just had this remarkable ability to overcome the curse. He understood that that's what mankind was. That's what mankind was, in spite of Dr. Harari. Mankind has the ability to overcome, and even if weather sometimes curses us, right? You know, storms come, the winds come, terrible kind of situations. But we have the ability, the innate ability, to deal with it, and that's what Erara means. Erara means, it was when God cursed the land. It wasn't so much, it cursed the land as a punishment, and the punishment was that you have to get out of it. You have to somehow reorient yourself to be able to overcome. And that's who Noach was. He was the person who indicated that the created man / woman has the ability to overcome the difficulties in Olam Hazeh. And that's why the parasha ends with the pasuk of Noach Mata Chein Beinei Hashem. Why did Noach find favor in God's eyes? Remember a pasuk that Rashi doesn't refer to, doesn't explain, the last pasuk in the first parasha of the Torah. Because Noach was not just left over after the flood, but Noach was the one who indicated that we can deal with reality, we can overcome, we can do what has to be done in order to live a good life in the world that God has created. So that God created the challenge, and the challenge was Arura Ha'adama Bavurchem, that God said to Adam and Chava that the earth will be cursed. And Noach said, we can overcome it. We can overcome it. Noach didn't change the earth, but he changed the way we labor on the earth. And that way enabled us to continue. I mean, that made Noach a primary candidate for the next world, the world after the Mabul, the world after the everything is destroyed and starts over again. So since we're talking about Noach, let's look at the first pasuk in our parasha. Eile toldot Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya bederotav, et ha'elokim, italech Noach. So this, as an epitaph, is probably the best thing that was ever said about anybody in the Tanakh. I mean, I think it would be embarrassing for anybody to put this on their tombstone. You know, I mean, after all, even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, Anav Mikol Adam, he was marked by humility. Okay, so humility is a great feature. But how do you compare that to Tzadik Tamim Haya Bidorotav? And then Et Elokim Italech Noach. I mean, that's easily the most remarkable reference to a person in the entire Tanakh. And this in spite of the fact that, you know, that the story doesn't end gloriously for Noah. You know, he drank too much, his children, and he did get along with them, didn't get along with them. But in any event, it starts off great, but it starts off really great. Now let's see what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Ho'il v'izkiro siper b'shikro." Since the Torah mentions Noah, so the Torah says something about him. In other words, how is the pasuk? The pasuk, you see the word Eile Toldot Noach, and then it says Noach Ish Sadiq. So really, that piece of the pasuk Noach Ish Sadiq is unnecessary. You know, I mean, what we're interested in is that Noach had three sons, and with the three sons, you know, they built the ark, and then etc. Why the Torah doesn't have to do this, but Rashi creates a literary form for us. He says there's a literary form. What's a literary form? You mention somebody, so you say something about them. Not because it's necessary for the story, but because that's the way you do it. Eile Toldot Noach. Who's Noach? Noach is Sadiq. Not that you don't know. We've heard of Noach already. We heard about him in Bereshit. But still, it's the proper way to do it. It's the polite way to do it. Rashi says again, "Ho'il v'izkirosi pesh v'shivcho shneimar zecher tzaddik livracha," mentioning what the tzaddik, mentioning a person tzidkut, is libracha. Davar acher lelometcha sheikar toldotehem. Shel tzadikim masim tovim. There's something like an extra letter at the end. Ikar toldotehem shel tzadikim masim tovim. That's why it says that. Okay, so Rashi, it would seem from Rashi that Rashi doesn't really understand or doesn't have a reason which reflects the flow of things, and he rationalizes the statement about Ish Tzaddik v'tamim haya b'dorotav as some ethical position or some literary position, but it's not something that's absolutely necessary according to Rashi. Now, Rashi goes on, and he's troubled, and he leaves us with this problem. We've lived with it all our lives. Why does the pasuk say b'dorotav, which means in his generations? Plural, right? Bidorotav. He was a tzaddik, bidorotav. He was a tamim, bidorotav. That's what the pasuk says. Rashi says, "Yesh bi rabotenu doshim oto lishvach." There are those who say that the intent of the pasuk is to speak positively, lishvach, positively about Noach. So that we should interpret Kol Shekein Shilu Haya B'dor Tzadikim Haya Tzadik Yoter. In other words, it's a relative clause. Like, you say, oh, he was, you know, like if there's no competition, so you don't do so well. The same thing is true about righteousness. If everybody's wicked, it's not such a big, that's so hard to be righteous. So you're not too righteous, but again he says, "Kol shekein she'ilu haya b'dor tzadikim haya tzadik yoter," that if he lived with the righteous, he would be even more righteous. V'yeshidor shivato lignai, and there's some people who explain that this was actually a negative statement about Noach. Lefi doro haya tzadik, v'ilu haya b'doro shel Avraham lo haya nechshav leklum. Lefi Doro Ayat Tzadik, right? He was righteous at the particular time. Uilu Ayat B'Doro Shel Avraham Lo Hayat Nechshav Leklum. If he lived at the time of Avram Avinu, he would not have been, nobody would have noticed him. Nobody noticed him. So you could ask the question in different ways. But let's say, here I am, I'm Rashi. I want to tell people what's going on in the pasuk. So why does Rashi tell them what he thought? I mean, Rashi must have had an opinion about Noach. He must have thought that Noach was a good guy or a bad guy. So why does he just tell us what he thought? Second question, how could anybody think that this is lignai? That this is a negative statement about Noach? I mean, you have to really be like a little bit strange. Do you say that somebody is tzaddik and he's tamim and et elokim et alech Noach, that all of that is negative? I mean,
in other words, why add in his generation?
What?
That's adding.
No, but so you could think it's positive. That if he had been in another generation, he would have been even greater. It was in his generation he was a tzaddik 6 out of 10. But in another generation it would be 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that interpretation?
Both are possible.
No, but one is more possible than the other. Let's say, when I read the Pasuk, before I get involved in this cleverness, it sounds to me like it's positive. So why not interpret it as positive? I mean, and if you think that it's negative, so say it's negative. Why interpret it both ways? I mean, what are we supposed to do? We, the poor students of the Chumash, what are we supposed to think to ourselves about Noach? And how he was chosen and what he was doing. Was he somebody to look up to? Was he somebody to respect, or was he not? One more Rashi and then I'll listen. One more Rashi. Rashi says, Et Elokim et Alech Noach, right? Et Elokim et Alech Noach. So this is something that, it really sounds good, no? I mean, how can you be more positive than that? Along comes Rashi. And Rashi says, Abraham yavitchazek me'alech b'tzidko me'elav. Noach went with God. With means leaning against, depending upon, with. But Avram went, Avram yavitchazek me'alech b'tzidko me'elav. He didn't lean. Avram was independent, a free spirit. Can you imagine that? Hitalech. Hitalech is hitpa'el in Hebrew. Right? Something you do to yourself. Lashon Avar, as she says. V'zeo shimusho shelamed b'lashon kaved. Okay, we'll leave out the grammar. I still don't get it. I'm not sure I get it. Let's look at the Bereshit Rabbah. You see the Bereshit Rabbah? The next thing, Bedorotam. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia are very well-known Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Bedorotav Ayat Tzadik. Bedorotav Ayat Tzadik. Ha'ilu Ayah Bedorot Shel Moshe, Bedorot Shel Shmuel, Lo Ayat Tzadik. How come he says Moshe and Shmuel? And Rashi says, Lefi Doro Ayat Tzadik, really, but Doro Shel Abraham. I mean, a different drasha. But why does the Medrash? I mean, I understand. And the Medrash is right. When you say Doro Shel, the generation of, there have to be other people there. That's a door, and all the people. There were no other people with Abraham. What Rashi is changing something. Rashi says, Lefi Doro, I'm going back to Rashi. Lefi Doro Hayat Tzadik, in the long line, the first long line in the Rashi. Lefi Doro Hayat Tzadik, Vilu Eber Doro Shel Abraham. Lo Hayat Nechshav Leklum. What do you mean Doro Shel Abraham? There is no such thing as Doro Shel Abraham. Is it Doro Shel Abraham? Who else was righteous when Abraham? Why call it Doro Shel Abraham? It's Doro Shel Shmuel. Oh, then there were Jews. Doro Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, that's good. Moshe and Shmuel. So in any event, what does it say? What does it say? Back to the Medrash. Mashal Shel Echad Shayalo Marteif Echad Shel Yayin. Right? You know the Medrash likes this, likes to give a mashal. It's just like. But the mashal is interesting. Mashal echad sheilo matev sheechad shel yayin, patach chavit achat v'nimtza shel chometz. He opened up a bottle of wine. Those of you who have ever made wine on your own know that this is a very common event. And you find out that it's vinegar. Like, you know, wine vinegar. You can either buy it in the store or make it yourself. Matza'a shel chometz. Shniya. Kane, another bottle. He takes out another bottle. It's also chometz. Shlishit. Umitza'a koseis. The word koseis means a little bit, you know, like a tang of chometz. What?
Fizzy.
Vinegar. A little vinegary. Right? Wine vinegary. Amrin le kosemhu. So they say to him, it's got a little tang in it of vinegar. Amar lehu v'itacha tav mina. You have something better? Amar le lo. So he takes it. In other words, you go down to the store and you taste the wine. Those are the good old days. You taste the wine and it's vinegar. He says, I don't want that. Finally, you come to a little bit of wine that had just a little bit of a taste of vinegar, and you take it. You say, okay, I'll take this. They say, but you know, it has a little bit of that taste, the taste of vinegar in it. So they say, well, you got something better? You have something better that I could buy? They say, no, nothing better. Amar lahon v'itacha tabmine, amar leilo, kach bedorotav ayat sadik, ha'ilu ayat bedoroshel Moshe, bedoroshel Shmuel, lo ayat sadik. So he, Noach, was like the wine that was a little bit sour. A little bit sour. And so he lived in a generation where everybody was very vinegary wine. And so by comparison, so I mean this is really, Noach, we call him a tzaddik, but he really isn't a tzaddik. It's really... He's only Bidorotav. And Bidorotav, I mean, he was vinegar. He was sort of vinegar. It wasn't terrible. I mean, you could still drink it, but it wasn't wine. The second example, I mean, Chemia Omer Mayim Bidorotav Hayat Tzadik, Gilo Ya Bidorosho Moshe, Bidorosho Shmuel, Al Achat Kama V'Kama. That's the other opinion. Mashal Itzlochit Shel Afar Simon. A far simon is persimmon. Yeah, I don't know too much about persimmon, but I mean, you put it in a thing and close it up, and it smells, right? It has a nice smell to it. I hope that's the idea here. Shlochit shel afar simon mukefet samid patil. It's like closed up with a tie. It's like you take a bottle, a jar, and you put some wax paper on it, and you close it up with a piece of string or a rubber band or something. Rabbi Nechemiah says, "Man b'dor tav ayat zadik ili b'dor shem Moshe b'dor shem Shmuel al achad kama v'kama Moshe is tzolchit shel afar simon mukevet zamit patil u'monachat bein hakvarot." You know, sometimes these medrashim are a little different. And they put that in the cemetery. In other words, apparently they buried people in a, you know, not very, not a very hygienic way. And there was a smell in the Beit Kvarot. So when you went to visit a kever, the proper proper thing to bring with you to the kever was the Sefar Simon, which covered up the smell of the rotting bodies, right? The Hayar Reicha Nodef, and the smell would be noted, like you'd smell the smell in the Beit Kvarot. Vilo aya chutz lekvarot al achad kama v'kama. And if you had the afar simon astam in your house in the kitchen, so then you'd really get a very strong smell in the Beit Kvarot. You got a little bit of a smell, outside in your house, you'd get alachat kama b'kama, a tremendous smell. Okay, the third example, mashal betula, a virgin girl, shaita shruya, b'shuk shel zonot, and she was in a house of prostitution, v'lo yatzal la shem ra, and she's not yet known as a, she doesn't have a, nobody says anything bad about her, ilo yata b'shukan shel ksheirot, alachat kama b'kama, as if she was at a place where all the women were straightforward, so she would have even a better reputation. Kach uma im bedorotav yatzadik uliyah bedoros shel Moshe or bedoros shel Shmuel achat kama b'kama. So the idea of the Medrash is that, let's say, there's an intrinsic kind of tzidkut that a person might have, but reality brings it out. It could bring it out a little more, or it could bring it out a little bit less. So if you're in the context of righteousness, that's Rabbi Nechemia, the second opinion in the Medrash. The second opinion says if you're in the context of righteousness, if you live with other people who are righteous, so it brings out the natural righteousness in the person and enables him to be very successful. Whereas if you live in a place where everybody around you is unappealing, unacceptable, then your own natural righteousness doesn't have an opportunity to grow. As far as the particular examples that are brought in the Medrash, you know, the cases, I don't know if we don't have time to think about that now. But we go back to Noach. I would still like to know. I'd like to know, here it is, the Medrash is like, let's say, the year zero, right? The Medrash is, this Medrash is written by Tanaim, right? And Rashi is the 11th century, right? So from the Medrash to the 11th century, nothing has changed. We still don't, all those years, everybody said, well, either he was a tzaddik or he wasn't a tzaddik. And if you had to explain it, you would say, well, look how he turned out. He didn't turn out exactly like a righteous person. But in fact, the pasuk says he was a righteous person. So there we have it. We're stuck. Until the Shemini Shvuot came along. Until the Shemini Shvuot came along, that's another 1,000 years, right? But that's what I meant to say. The Tanoim are like zero. Rashi is the 11th century. I mean, I'm not saying that this statement in the Medrash Rabbah was written in year zero. Don't quote me on that. I'm just saying that it's like that kind of spread. Right, and the Shemini Shmuel is the 20th century, right? The son of the Sachachov, of the Avni Nezer. He's already the beginning of the 20th century. You have a 1,000-year spread from the Tanoim to Rashi. Nothing has changed other than the fact that Rashi insists that the comparison of Noach is to Avraham and not to Shmuel and the Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Whereas now, we have to look at the Shemini Shmuel. I want to read it. Et Elokim Itzalich Noach. Listen to Shemini Shmuel. I mean, it'll be a drop of knowing, but I'm going to read it. Perish Rashi. Uba Avraham Omer V'chule. Noach Hayat Sarich Sa'ad L'tom Chod. That's Rashi. That Noach had to be supported by God. But Abraham was able to be righteous on his own. He didn't need divine support. So Rashi says, so the Shemini Shmuel says, Yesh Lavin. When he says Yesh Lavin, he means, I don't understand. Right? That's called a nice way of talking about it. Right? Yesh Lavin, Ani Lo Mevin. Ani lo mevin. He says, Sharei hakatuv me'id alav shaya ish tzadik tamim. Shemashma shaya tzadik b'shleimut. He says, how can you argue with the pasuk? The pasuk says he was tzadik tamim. Tzadik tamim, that means he was as good as you could be. Was Rashi draying around and saying that he wasn't as good as he could be? Or that Avram Avinu was better than he was? Reading again. Sadik tamim. That if it was true that God had to come and support him, that contradicts the idea of shleimut. Shleimut, perfection, right? That he was perfect. So why would he need God to support him in being perfect? And then he says, v'nireh, dehinei Avraham, im kol avonotav, anvetanuto hagidola, that Avram Avinu, who was, he's like explain it to us. He says, let's look at Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was anav. He was humble. Agdola shamavanochi afar va'efer. Avram Avinu said about himself, "I am dust and dirt. I'm nothing." Haya ish chazak meod. He was, on the other hand, even though he was very humble, he was also very strong. V'nikra Eitan. Eitan, you know everybody named Eitan? Avram Avinu is Eitan. Right? And Eitan means strong, powerful, sturdy. Right? That's Eitan. So he says, "Ish chazak mo v'nikra Eitan." Shemash ma'ol l'shon chozek u'barambam. Everybody should know the Rambam. Perek al melchot avodah zarah. Kevan shenigmal Eitan zeh. You see the Shem Shmuel? What was his name? What was his name? His name was Avraham. That was his name. And the Rambam, in almost every time he mentions Avram Avinu, he calls him Avraham. Every time. But one time, in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, right, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, he says the following, Kevan Shenigmal Eitan Zeh. When this person was weaned from his mother's milk, the person he's referring to is Avraham Avinu. And the name that he uses here, and only in this place, in referencing him, is Eitan. Kevan Shenigmal Eitan Zeh. Harei shehayu etzlo shtei hamidot yachdav. What are the two midot? What two character traits did Avram Avinu have? Humility and power. Humility and power. He's describing a personality. Personality of Avram Avinu. He was humble, anochi afar va'efer, and he was powerful. Kevan shenigmal Eitan Zeh. Harei shehayu etzlo shtei hamidot yachdav. Ukein sheita b'medrash achat hi yonati tamati. This is the Medrash Rabbo. There's a pasuk, I didn't put it in here, but just briefly to remind you, there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Yonati b'chagvei asela. Yonati, a yona is a what? A dove, yeah. Chagvei HaSela are the cracks in the rock that the yona builds its nest in, the crevices in the rocks, right? Hayalomar yona b'chagvei HaSela. Now, why did it say yonati? Why is the pasuk say yonati, my yona? Just yona b'chagvei HaSela. Umasha ma yonati. I'm reading the don't look for it. I'm reading something you don't have. Umasha ma yonati. El amar Rabbi Yochanan amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael yonati. Reima k'tiv vayhi Ephraim ki yona pota ein leiv. That the Bnei Yisrael or Ephraim are like a yona pota. Pota means it listens to whatever you say, whatever you tell it. God says, You're like a you don't have an opinion. Anything God says, that's what you do. So now let's go back to our text. Shmot Rabbah, it's the fifth line, right? The fifth line after the parentheses. Achati yonati tamati. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is already, as you know, an Amora, right? Yonah, Tama, and Ketiv Kan. Ela Yonati Tamati, that somehow they noted the fact that it doesn't say Yonah Tama, singular. But it says Yonati, my Yonah, my Tamati. Etzlihem ki Yonah Pota. For me, God, they are like a pigeon that just does whatever I tell it to do. Yonah Pota. Ein Leiv. Ein Leiv. It doesn't have its own heart. It doesn't work on its own. Shekol Masha Nigozer Alehem Hemosim. Whatever I tell this Yonah equals Bnei Yisrael, Ephraim. Whatever God decides, that's what they do. Aval keneged umota olam hem kashim kechayot. But when they have to defend themselves against their oppressors, umota olam, the nations of the world, then hem kashim kechayot, they are strong as wild animals. Va'al kein lo haya biyecholet anshei doro harishaim levalbelo afilu b'machshava. And therefore we know that anshei doro harishaim, the wicked who lived in the generation of Abraham, were not able to confuse his way of thinking about things. Ki yadu ad besvarim, as we know from all kinds of, you know, wise statements in wise books, sharishaim pogmim b'machshavatam ara'ad atzadikim. But if you have a lot of rishaim around and they just think the wrong thing, that has a bad effect on the righteous, even on the righteous of Abraham. Shayalo chozek ha'lev me'od lo yachlu la'zikot. Now, we were talking before about Noach. I'm sorry. I'll do it again. Here, Val Kane. It's the sixth line in the middle, towards the left. There's a period. Al Kane or Al Korchecha. Lo yabi yicholet anshei doro harishaim leval belo afilu b'machshava. That they were not able to affect Noach, even though everybody was evil in those days. Noach remained tzaddik. He was a tzaddik. He had b'svarim sharishaim pogvim b'machshavtam ra'ata tzaddikim. Because usually what happens when you're a single person and everybody else around you is bad, so it has a bad effect on you. Aval Avraham, shaya lo chozek halev me'od, lo yachlu lehaziko. Aval Noach, im kol tzidkato, shaya tzadik tamim. Even though it's true that Noach was righteous, umatzinu bo anava yitera, and he was humble, sha'av sha'aya merkava letzadikei yesod. We'll let the Kabbalists deal with that. Merkava. Merkava is the seat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He was the only one. He was, you know, God's presence in the world was dependent upon him. Bikol makom lo matza ba'atzmo shum ma'ala neged anshei doro harishaim. So the Shem Mishmuel says there's a distinction between the tzidkut of Noach and the tzidkut of Abraham. They're both tzaddikim, he says. They're both tzaddikim, but there's a difference between them. Noach was a tzaddik, and his tzidkut is understood as in the fact that he was not affected by the rishut that was around him. All of the terrible thinking, the terrible ideas, the terrible things that people did had no effect on Noach. But Noach was unable to take a forceful stand against them. Right? He was unable to do that. But Abraham, he had that other quality as well. And that other quality as well was that he would fight against those who had those terrible ideas. Right? So, Avshayam Merkavala Tzadik Yisod Olam Mikol Makom Lo Matzah Ba'atzmo Shum Ma'ala Neged Anshei Doro HaRishayim. Even though he was the righteous person, and as the only righteous person in the world, any Kabbalist will tell you, he became the seat of God's presence in the world. There was no one else. No one else. Nevertheless, he couldn't fight it. He couldn't take a stand against it. We don't hear that about Noah. He doesn't take any kind of stand. Over Medrash, Vani Kasher Sukein Asiti. Uma beini leveinam, ele shegemalat ni tova v'amarta li bo ata v'kol beitcha elateva. Even though I couldn't deal with it, Noach says, God did me this great tova and took me and my family into the ark. Ad lumadze. You see where we are? Le'umadze. It's like sort of in the middle. Ach lumadze, as opposed to Noach, Hayachaselo chozek. I'm sorry. Against that, hayachaselo chozek alev. Noach didn't have a powerful heart. He was not able to act. V'yuvan al pi ma she amar kvod kacho avi admor etc. B'divrei hatargum Yonatan v'pasuk vayikra Moshe lehoshea binun Yehoshua. Right, you remember that pasuk? Moshe called Hoshea ben Nun and renamed him Yehoshua. He added a yud. So the Targum says, "Kadechama Moshe an vetanute kara Moshe v'gomei." He saw that Yehoshua was an overwhelmingly humble person. So he called to him and he added the yud. Hainu ki miteva he'anav. So that the humility, the humble person tends to give in. He tends to let the other opinion dominate. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that Yehoshua ben Nun would, as one of the spies, would not take a strong stand against the other spies who said that maybe, you know, going to Eretz Canaan is not such a big deal, right? Moshe Yehoshua. Kaperish Rashi, Hashem Yoshi Acham Yatzat Melach Amiraglim. So the Yud makes Hoshea into Yehoshua, which is a word that describes the redemption that Yehoshua ben Nun needs in order to escape the influence of the other Meraglim. V'ze atzmo haya benoach sheyatzrich tsa'ad letomcho. And that's why Rashi says that Yehoshua, that Noach needed support. Hainu chozek alev. He needed to be of strong heart. Debeli hasad hayachaser mitzad atzmo chozek alev. Because if God didn't help him, he would not have that strength of character. And then all the wicked people around him would mess with his righteousness, and he would not be that kind of a righteous person. And therefore, Noah had to be separated from the people of his generation. Why does it say that the pasalat arishonim sharem yatzmo muvan shilo yurishaim gemurim v'zet tzadik gamur achu adavar shemashay yadat nafsho shechaser lo chozek alev. He knew it himself. Noach hayta tzato emuna liot nivdal legamrei mehem. Okay. So you see, what is the Shmuel? What's the Shem Shmuel? How did he do it? How did he work it out? He said, no, that's not what Rashi means. Rashi is not disagreeing with the pasuk. The pasuk says Noach was a tzaddik. Noach was a tamim. Noach had Elohim italech Noach. Right? That's what he says. However, even in the category of perfect righteousness, we can differentiate two kinds of people. We can differentiate the people who are righteous for themselves, you know, they, and we could find the people who spread the righteousness, who insist on righteousness, who push it, who push the the righteous agenda, who push the righteous agenda. And so Noach, because he was personality type A, right? And Avraham Avinu was personality type B, but Noach was personality type A meant that his righteousness was dependent on him being separate, not being part of the larger community, not being involved with everybody else. And certainly his righteousness is noteworthy. It saved the world. But it did not do what Avraham Avinu was able to do with his righteousness. Right? The Pasuk says in next week's parasha, Vayita Eshel Bever Sheva, right? Bever Sheva. That Avraham Avinu planted this Eshel. So the Chachomim, what's an Eshel? Who's interested in trees? He says, no, it was the red apple rest, for those of you who have some kind of connection to earlier realities. It was the red apple. Red apple rest in New York City.
Yes.
Upstate. Dude. No, he's English. No, but English.
I'm from New York and I don't know what
this
is. What? I'm from New York and I don't know what that is.
You don't know what you're from New York, you don't know what that is?
No.
I can't help you. Him, I can help. It's still there, by the way. The red apple rest. I mean, it doesn't have anything in it, but the sign and the building, it's still there. So, how did I get to the red apple rest?
Eshel.
Oh, so I saw the Chazal say, I'm going to put up this hotel, and he would feed people, and then he would say, bench. You know, can you imagine somebody doing that today? Even Chabad, they don't say bench. They just say eat, right? Avraham Avinu said bench. So you see, according to Shem Yishuv, that Avraham Avinu had this powerful character trait, which was that he wanted to. It's true about all the history as Chazal understand Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fiery furnace by Nimrod because he tried to spread his ideas. If he would just kept his mouth shut, nothing would have happened. It would have been so. Avraham Avinu is understood by Chazal as being not only the first Kiruv personality, but that he did it in a forceful manner. When there was a problem, with Lot, they captured Lot. Lot was not exactly an honorable person, but Avraham Avinu went out to fight the battle for what he felt was just. And he didn't say, well, I'm a tzaddik, so don't draft me. He didn't say that. I mean, I'm only kidding. It's not a good comparison. But so ignore it. I didn't mean it. This came out by accident. Even though I know there are no accidents. But so Avraham Avinu is perceived as being an activist kind of tzaddik. And Noach is perceived, according to Shem Shmuel, as being a tzaddik, but his tzidkus depends on him being able to be a tzaddik. You know, it was like he needs sa'at, he needs support from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Shem Shmuel, right, 2,000 years later, right, Shem Shmuel said, no, the Pasuk is right, and Rashi is right, and Bedorotav is right. It's all right. It's all the way it should be. That it's important to know that Noach was a tzaddik, and it's important to know that there's a way of distinguishing the tzidkus of Avraham Avinu and the tzidkus of Noach, and it's important to understand that Noach, who might have been able to save the generation in some way or other, did not. He did not save the generation, even though Rashi says, you know, they waited around 12 months while they were building building the ark for somebody to do tshuva. But nobody did tshuva. Because Noach, they were laughing at Noach. They all laughed at him. You know, he was not able to present his position to the people who were outside of his sphere of influence, like his family. He was not able to argue the case. But Avram Avinu is portrayed for us as a person who was always arguing the case. Always, even if it meant endangering himself physically and being in a difficult position. So I think the Sheikh Mishmuel has an interesting take on the issue. Oh. Have a wonderful Shabbos.